Welcome back. What's going on, party people? Insomniac Insight episode, I don't even know, is it 5 or 6? I can't remember what I put down, but I will say this. Tonight will probably be a little bit briefer than before, but who knows? Once I get amped up, it's just, there's no telling, okay? There's no telling. So, welcome. Welcome. I don't know if you've been hanging out with me today a little bit. We've done a lot of stuff today with social media. We did the County Route Report at noon. We talked about the letter F. It was a fun day. Tomorrow, I know it's going to shock you. County Route, we're going to talk about the letter G. Because G comes after F, kids. So, yeah, that's usually noon Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, in the evening, I do this little thing where basically I get myself all riled up and crazy and I start ranting and talking about ridiculous stuff. But I'm like so worn out and exhausted today. And it really isn't because of the amount of work that we did, although we did a lot. And really by we, I mean Linda. She's the one who did everything today, not me. Linda today is, she's been working on this cool little, she and Noah, my oldest son, are building a little like a she shed. It basically is a garden kind of shed that's going to connect to the raised garden. So that's kind of neat. And they're almost done with that. They're going to actually put roofing on tomorrow. And then they, you know, today we spent our time going around basically picking up all sorts of pieces of wood. She'll tell you all about it. And she's probably working on a video. It's pretty cool. So anyway, long story short, that was a big deal. So we went searching today. And the other thing we're looking for, which is kind of cool, we're looking for just like abandoned windows and glass. And we saw a bunch of it sitting out by the road today. So we might take and snag it tomorrow. And Linda wants to build a greenhouse. So that's on the big to-do list as well. So because of the, spring and the change that's happening in terms of the weather, we're spending a lot more time outside in our yard. And so lots of cool projects are happening. And Linda's, she's spearheading most of them and doing videos. So it's going to be kind of cool. So anyway, click on Happy Place Homestead on the YouTube channel and you're going to find lots of great stuff. All right. Linda's filming all the time and putting up projects. So lots of do-it-yourself stuff basically today. Robina, can you borrow a book? The answer is no. Here's what the thing is, and this is true. I wouldn't borrow you a book. I'd either give you the book and know that you would never return it to me because nobody ever returns a book, or I would buy you the book. There's no way I'm giving you a book thinking you're going to return it, okay? Nobody does. And I have too much of my heart and soul into these books that are behind me. Now, at various times in my life, I've given my books away. Sometimes I gave all of the books I owned away. And that was a tough day. I just did it because I didn't want to be, you know, ruled by the books. But then I pretty much went and bought them all back eventually. So anyway, so lots of projects going on around the homestead. And again, if you go to YouTube channel, like, subscribe, and all that good stuff to Happy Place Homestead, that's where all that stuff usually will go up. The evening rants for me are just kind of fun. We're having a great time hanging out. And we can talk about whatever you want. I try to flow with whatever the questions you might have are. And then we'll go. But I do want to say something. So tonight, I was a little exhausted and worn out because I put about twice a year, I put a political comment up on my personal Facebook page. So there are two pages. You're right now watching this live on my public page. The public page is free 99% of the time of anything political. In fact, the vast majority of stuff that comes on this page is just fun, silly. It's going to be just kind of lighthearted. You should be able to come, laugh, have a great time. Not a big deal. Very rarely will there be anything serious or heavy religious. It's not like that here. I really want this to be kind of a neat, just a little bit of entertainment, knowing that, you know, with all the craziness going on, you can come here and just have some fun. And I always feel like a lot of times with Catholics, there's such a hard time, even Catholics and Christians, there's always such a hard time for them to just relax and have a great time. It's like everything has to be hardcore serious. Let me put my gigantic, huge Mary statue behind me and my gigantic cross to make sure that you know that this is such a religious moment. And look, I got a billion Mary statues and tons of religious books, and I love it, love it, love it. But man, it's okay for us to just laugh and have a great time and have fun. Not everything has to be like hardcore serious. And yeah, we need hope and encouragement to know that we're going to make it through there. But there's a million people. Like the joke I had a few weeks ago was like, oh my gosh, everybody all of a sudden is becoming a life coach. And then I saw something like this, and I think that it's true, but like all of a sudden everybody's become like a spiritual director. Everybody's become now some sort of a pastor, preacher. And good. I mean, share your faith. That's what we're all called to do. That's part of what this is about, that baptism and that, you know, preaching the gospel to everyone. But when this is done, we should keep doing it, right? Because this is not just I'm bored. I probably should figure out something to do during a pandemic, you know? So anyway, long and the short of it is, today I put one of my political comments up, and I put it on my personal page. Now, I didn't know this when I first did Facebook. I didn't know that you were limited with the amount of people that could like your page. So when I first started, I had a personal page and not a public page, and I maxed out. You can only have 5,000 people and you can't have more. So I maxed out, and then at that point I realized I have all these people who want to, you know, like interact with me, but I can't be their friend, so I'll make a public page. So then I had two pages that I was having to run all the time, and I tried to at one point get Facebook to help me, and I tried to move everybody over from one to the other, and ultimately what I realized was that screw it, I'll just keep both pages going, and the Chris Padgett personal page will just be my personal stuff. I'll try to weed out the crazy people, and I'll just let the people who are really close friends be there, and if I have room, I'll add them there, but mostly I'll say, come to Chris Padgett friend page, it's limitless, hang out, it'll be good. So, that's the setup. I like I said, about twice a year, I'll put up a political comment, and usually it'll be fast, quick, in and out. I hate doing political stuff, personally. It's not my deal. So today, I watched, to my own detriment, the press conference with the president. And I partly watched that because I am interested, especially since we live in New York, to know what's going on with this freaking pandemic, and are we going to end? Have we maxed out? Are we going down now? What's happening? And so I'm very interested in the facts, you know, nothing but the facts. Just give me the facts. And I feel like sometimes I'm not getting the facts. And I just watched it. I was horrified with the way that our president was speaking to people. And I just was very disappointed. So I made a comment about that on my personal page, right? Well, you would have thought I opened up, Pandora's box, and everybody went freaking mental. And I spent most of my evening trying to unfollow a whole bunch of people. Not unfriend, just unfollow. The thing about it is that I promised myself I wasn't going to rant about that a long time tonight. I just simply wanted to say, if you've been a part of that experience over on the one page, tonight we're not going to hang out in this crazy political tension. Let's just have some fun, relax, calm down a little bit before bed, and that's how I'm going to approach it, okay? So, what do I want to talk about tonight? Well, I had a cool conversation with an old high school friend tonight, just texting back and forth, and we started talking about books. Now, this is a familiar topic for me, and you're going to have to forgive me, but on a regular basis, I'm going to bring up the topic of books because I'm out of control when it comes to books. And I've been reading a book right now. I thought maybe initially I could recommend, but I've decided I'm not going to recommend it. It's a little bit too edgy. It's my first time reading this particular author. It's fine. It's actually a phenomenal book, but whatever. But we were talking about a whole bunch of books. And one of the books that we were talking about was from this author named Brendan Sanderson. So, listen, I feel like somebody's a little bit excited here, right? There's a lot of hearts going on. There's a lot of hearts going on. Nick, thank you for hearting, I mean, just heartily hearting what I'm saying. So there's this guy named Brendan Sanderson. Now, Brendan Sanderson is mostly known for his Mistborn series. And, but a lot of people don't know that he actually finished the, Wheel of Time series by, Robert Jordan, which he has like, I don't know, whatever, 12, 15 books, 16 books. Okay. Now I started reading the Mistborn series. I've never read Wheel of Time, but this guy's a giant. Like, he rocks it out and finishes his books. Right? And I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Like, you start a series, you're pumped about it, it's super good, and then you realize the guy doesn't finish the series. What's the classic example of this right now? You know what it is, right? It's George R.R. Martin, right? That's what it is. This guy, he had all of this peak interest with the Game of Thrones series, which of course was a book before they put it on to HBO. And he didn't finish it. It's still not finished. So the question is he going to finish it? And is he going to finish it exactly like they did in the HBO series? And you know, a lot of people can complain and be upset that they didn't like the HBO series, and especially the ending. But whatever, be that as it may, that's the kind of example I'm talking about. You have this mega hit series, and then you can't figure out how to close it, how to finish it. And it drives me crazy, because one of my all-time favorite book series is this guy, Patrick Rothfuss, who wrote The Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear. And I don't think he'll ever finish it. I don't think he has the ability to finish this series. And it kind of irritates me. So, whatever. I can't. I got to let it go. Here's another author that everybody loves that I'd like to jump into, but I've never done this, is this guy named Brent Weeks. And Brent Weeks has this Black Prism and Broken Eye. And then he's got these other books that look flippin' epic. And I'm always in the mood for like a big epic book, because I have great memories of reading those kind of books, especially when I was younger. I remember reading The Sword of Shannara for the very first time when I was a kid. So anyway, that's my book nerd moment. And so I think what's going to happen is I'm going to finish the book I'm reading. Actually, I'm reading about 5 books right now, but whatever. I'll try to read a couple of those, finish those up, and then I'm jumping into one of these mega epic fantasies, because I just can't anymore. I can't hold off. So I heard they consulted with Martin, so the same person ended up on the throne. Well, yes, Sarah, so I agree with you. So he did consult the people when they finished that up. Now, but here's what he said, though. He said that it's quite possible that it won't look like that. So he might modify and tweak the actual book. And I think some of it had to do with the response that people had to how it was viewed, how it was taken. Like, he has an advantage that most authors wouldn't. He can get immediate feedback on if people like the story flow. I mean, that's what happened, because he allowed the televised series to advance beyond what he'd written. So it will be interesting to see if he keeps it just like that or if he modifies it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does modify it a little bit. I think that Arya moment, right, with the near the end with the big bad, that was pretty insane and epic. And it did seem fitting that the person who ends up on the throne would be the one who ended up on the throne. So for those of you who don't know, well, too bad, you know. Spoiler alert, it was Harry Potter. All right, so. Let me just say hi to some of you guys here. Sarah, you're awesome. It's good to see you again. James, it's awesome to see you again, my brother. Melissa, I do seem extra awake tonight. And I don't know why, because I was exhausted before I turned it on. And so, I don't know, maybe it's just everyone's presence here that's making me alert, you know? Colleen, it's awesome to see you again. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. Pat Haviland, Chicago. What's up, baby? What's up? Amalia, I don't know if you're still watching, but that was cool. I think I saw your husband dancing around or something on a video earlier. And then Missy Hind, thanks for being here. Sarah Balk. Hey, so look, tonight, So yesterday, if I remember right, we talked a little bit about, do we really need to change our clothes? And then I went on a rant about, I went on this weird rant about scars from surgeries and that little craziness, okay? But here's the thing. We have a number of acres where I live. I'm just going to say that. And so we're doing a lot of work outside this year to basically to get ready for the zombie apocalypse. That's what's happening. So we're building some pens for pigs and we already got sheep and we already got goats. And we got some chickens and we got some guinea hens. They're pretty awesome when it comes to getting the ticks. And then we got turkeys. So we're doing pretty good. Now, here's the other thing, too, is that we did get some bullets. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm mostly using this for hunting, okay? But every single guy I know who, has property is already, I feel like, out testing their gun alignment. Now, I'm not saying that's something everybody should do or not. I'm just simply saying, in our area here, people are like shooting guns like we're in the middle of, you know, the redneck ville. And I remember I was in South Dakota hanging out and I was with a friend of mine and he took me downstairs and he showed me this safe. It was like a bank safe. This is all I'm going to say to you. This thing was ginormous and he opened it up. And if there was a gun that was made, he had it. And I realized in that moment, if the poo ever hits the fan, do you know what state's going to survive? It's going to be like South Dakota, North Dakota. It's those guys over there. That's where the continuation of the human species is going to happen. Is going to be in the Dakotas because A, they have all the guns. B, they've been shooting them since they were fetuses. Look, when you live in the Dakotas, when you're born, the moment that you can walk, you're given a gun basically to go and provide for your family. So that's the way it is. Okay. That's what we have to do. Hey, you know, you think you're all that? No, you're not. All right. So go out and shovel snow for 4 hours. Okay. And then come back in and then you can have dinner. Just tough. It's a tough breed over there. Right. And I thought to myself, there's no way I'm prepared for anything that could happen until I basically raise my level to the standard of South Dakota preparedness. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Jennifer, I wanted to tell you, because of you, I read that, the 11th plague or something? You said that was one of the books you were reading. I found out I actually had two copies of the books here because why wouldn't I? You know, I pick it up whenever I go to a thrift store or something. So I had that book. I read it. It was fantastic, actually. So I love that. So James is asking, do you and Linda have a book or books on anxiety and health and wellness? That's a great question. No, not specifically like that. We have books that are probably like nourishment for the soul, so to speak. So we've written a lot of spiritual books. Now, I do have a book coming out soon called Keep Your Head Down and Your Faith Up. And that again, is just kind of this idea of resting in God. Don't worry, He's got you. And so there is a little bit of a peace kind of flow there. But anyway, it's funny you say that, though, because I think we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff this year. I can't speak to, let's be healthy, because I'm a little too fat. Let's just be honest. So I gotta get my act together before I can speak with any type of authority on, health and wellness. Now, Linda's super hardcore with, eating healthy and all that. So they do a lot of stuff with that. And I think she's going to be filming more videos of foods this year, especially with the garden. But, there's no book on, hey, get healthy and fit with Chris. You know, I could almost do a book that says, hey, you want to get fat? Come with me. Walk with me. Let me show you the way. Jennifer's on here, and so it's kind of interesting because do you remember, I don't know if this was just a church thing or not, but I remember I had to hustle and sell pizzas when I was a kid living in South Dakota. So I spent my 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade year going to school with all these great peeps in South Dakota. Before that, I lived in North Dakota. The Hammerbecks were there with me, and I lived there from when I was about 4 till right before we moved to South Dakota. So my whole life growing up was in the Midwest and the Dakotas. And one of the things that we did when we were kids to raise money was to sell pizzas. So you know how you have these school things where kids going around selling like candy. I don't know if I remember selling candy at the school, but I do remember hustling, and we went around to all these houses to sell pizza. They were like little frozen pizzas, basically. And I also remember the Schwann man. I think it was the Schwann man, but whoever it was, but we got one of those things that would carbonate water and you could make your own soda. That was awesome. So, I mean, from a very young age, what I'm saying is that I was nourished on things that were going to make me fat, basically like soda and pizza. I mean, I was destined for the pear-shaped body that I have. There's no doubt about it, all right? So fundraisers for youth groups. That's what I thought, too. I thought it was something for churches and stuff. We went to a couple different churches in that area, if I remember right, as a kid. But it must have been that's what everybody did to raise money then. So I have no idea why I went down this path, but the whole idea of me writing a book for health is hilarious. So look forward to that, because when it happens, then I'll probably show a picture of, you know, me with muscles. But if you watch the comedy video, like the little comedy commercial that I have at the top of this page, we did a funny spoof of me like without a shirt for calendar months, you know, on beaches around the world. And it's hilarious. They just superimposed my face on these bodies, so it was pretty cool. Marksville, Louisiana, a few weeks ago. We had such an amazing time in Marksville, Louisiana. And the reason I had such a great time in Louisiana, A, they know how to eat there. Oh my gosh, the food was phenomenal. B, I've never heard people talk about eating squirrel like I did when I was in Louisiana. Memorable. Three, and this is true, that was going to end up being pretty much the last event I did before we all got grounded. So I have a lot of great memories because it was the last time I really got paid. So thank you. Chris Padgett for president. I like the one where I'm sitting at the desk with the hands. That's the best one for me. And then I have a few videos of me running for president. That was pretty funny. So what's the best advice for parents of many kids during this time in order to stay sane? Well, in New York, they allowed for alcohol, like not bars, but like liquor stores to be a necessary place of, you know, a business. So that's one way you can cope with it. I don't know if I recommend that to everybody, but it depends how old your kids are and how much space you have. So here's the thing for me: we have enough room where our kid can go out, like, and by kid I mean this, the youngest, who's gonna bike ride and have fun. She can go out on the driveway, and it's a pretty long driveway, and she can cruise up and down with her bike, not a big deal, right? There's a lot of chores that we have the kids doing. They have to feed animals and take care of things, and we're still burning fires here because it's still cool in the evening. So we burn a fireplace from about September, October until really really beginning middle of April at least. So we have a lot of firewood that we go through. So the kids all year long are doing chores like that. That's not really fun, but it does help consume your time and exert some energy and basically keep some blood flowing in the body. But we do have the internet, obviously, and so the kids play, you know, like everybody else, Fortnite or Minecraft or whatever the crud they're doing. And then I think two of my kids are trying to win money by playing online gaming. They have there's like a competition, and so every day they play it because they think they might be able to win $750. All I got to say is if they do win it, I'm taking the money. That's all I'm saying. I'm gonna say this pays for the internet that you've been using for the last year. All right, so here's the thing: is that if the kids are young, they don't need to know the crisis that's really going on, like, in detail. So what we try to do is we still try to figure out ways to have fun. Because we have the animals, that's kind of a fun experience, too, around the house. And then just finding things to do. Sometimes, because my oldest son is here, he's really athletic and outgoing. And so he's got a regiment working, I think, for the kids with weightlifting in the basement. And then he's doing a, like a little Bible study thing for his brothers, which is pretty awesome. Frisbee, we got some Frisbees. We got some sports stuff, a little basketball hoop. So there's enough things for them to do. But just like everywhere else, you know, my kids are prone to spend time watching television, playing video games. And but every day we kind of do a big prayer thing at the end of the night, and kind of that's how we settle our day. And we pray for all the people that have been blessing us and helping us, and have asked us for prayer. So it's been kind of a cool little thing. All right, see you, Sarah, get some rest. Yeah, so we started watching this this show. I don't know if I mentioned it yesterday, but we started watching this show called The Village, and it's on BritBox. So it's like a BBC-ish kind of thing. And the thing about the show is that they had to quarantine themselves during World War I time period because of like the plague or influenza. And I thought, like, they could not have predicted this. Like, this enactment that was taking place was like exactly what we're all kind of going through. So kind of crazy. So Kim, I have 7 kids under 11, so basically I have to be present to them all the time. Okay, so Kim, here's the truth is that, yeah, you're in the thick of battle. And there's nothing for you except you are, you're like, you're in the vortex of complete chaos. But here's what I will say. The older kids are pretty cool with the younger kids as a general rule, and the older kids can help and flow and play. So I'm just thinking, because my Ella is probably around 8 or 9. I don't know. I can't remember. And so she's really pretty helpful. And so I usually, when we had all our, because we have 9 kids, when our kids were older, then what they were kind of in charge of playing with and, you know, entertaining the little ones now and then too. So that helped. But, it, you know, I'm already exhausted just thinking about that because, you know, it is tough. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know where you live and what kind of flow you have. Like, in the backyard, we could put a hay bale out, put a target on it, and then we have some, like, bows and arrows that the older kids can play with the little girls, you know, like, even just their Barbie dolls and stuff. Because Ella is still, she has a good little doll collection still and a lot of books. And then we had Audrey that lived with us for 4 years, and that's my granddaughter, and she was very young. So we usually tried to get our little kids to play with each other, and then you know, whatever, they watched TV and had some fun and colored and yada yada. But there's nothing easy about it, Kim. I can sympathize with you, and yeah, you like, you're up at this hour for a million obvious reasons. So usually we do the talks about the big family and kind of the reality of how did we process and do things with our kids. We do that on the YouTube channel on Happy Place Homestead, and then every day we do this County Route Report where we pick a letter and we just kind of flow with it. So on the YouTube channel, there's a lot of stuff that we talk about, like stuff even that is really applicable for parents who have older kids. So really, for us now, we have 3 kids that are pretty much married. Our second oldest gets married here in a month, right in the middle of the apocalypse here. And then we've got 3 grandkids, and we have a kid in college. We have another that's going to graduate this year, and we have a couple of others that are in high school, one in middle school, and then Ella, who's still in elementary school. So right now, all our kids are a lot older, and many of them are, you know, beginning their journey in their life. And so in some ways it's kind of nice to be able to look back and speak to those situations with children and the various struggles that we had, and trying to implement a spiritual prayer life, you know, for the kids, and what could we handle, and, you know, and then just the overwhelming feelings of like being swallowed by all the expectations that we had and things that we placed on ourselves. And so just learning how to have balance. And Linda does a lot of stuff with that, talking to to moms and encouraging them. So I can honestly say, yeah, everybody thinks that if I do A plus B, then I get C when it comes to parenting. But anybody who's a parent realizes you can do A and B, and then the kid will end up doing Q. And it's, you're just like trying to figure it out. So it's not like here's the perfect secret recipe, but here are some proven tips that we've used. It might work for you. It might not. Here's how you have to tweak it. And that's why I always felt like it'd be tough to write a book on here's how to be a parent, because every kid is different. And so you'd have to write that many different parenting books almost. And so in some ways breathe a little bit of relief to know that you're not alone, and you're not, and you know, the kids are going to remember a lot of things, but they also forget some of the struggles and difficulties. Like my mom was pretty poor when I was growing up, and I don't remember being poor. You know, obviously some things later on made some sense that we didn't have enough money. So that's why, you know, that was the way it was. But I just remember being with my mom, who loved me and my sister, and, enjoying that. So my grandparents had 9 and 12 siblings respectively. You know what I remember is, I don't know if this was the way, I would assume it would be similar in elementary school, because I got there 6th grade year to Chamberlain. And before that, when I was living in North Dakota, I went to the 2 different elementary schools in Valley City. I went to Jefferson Elementary, and then I went to Washington Elementary. And whenever we got done with summer break and we came in for school, the teacher would always ask, what'd you do, you know, for the summer? And we would tell. And then when she would kind of do roll call, she would ask, how many brothers and sisters do you have? And because all of these families were farming families, like it was insane the amount of kids that were in those families. We were always like amazed. And I was especially amazed because I only had one sister and my parents were divorced. And so, I mean, I had no concept of growing up with that many kids. And my best friends, the Hammerbecks, when I was a kid, they had 4 in their family. And then you know, I almost kind of became the proverbial fifth wheel. I just was living with them practically. But I mean, just that whole idea of like how many kids you have in your family, and you'd hear like 7, 9, 12. You're like, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. And then we ended up with 9, and I'm thinking, that is crazy. I don't even think about it. Like, I don't even think, oh, I have 9 kids, because it's terrifying to think, oh my gosh, I have 9 kids. Like, dear Lord, like, who does that? You know, it's like, well, get a TV. Okay, well, I have a TV in every room, so that's not it. What do I do? Anyway, I hope you guys are great. It's a Monday. So my last little story, I think, before I probably start wrapping up, because I want to read a little bit before I go to bed. That's what I do. So I think I've mentioned this before. I told a funny story about the open heart surgery and then having to go to the following checkups and stuff. So I've had two of these open heart surgeries. And now, because of the last one, I have a mechanical valve. So I have to take blood thinners basically every day. And that means I have to go get my blood checked. And they call it an INR. Now, I don't, if Sarah were still on, she would know what it is. I can't remember what that's called. It's a standing order. They check the thickness of your blood. So my blood can't be too thick or I can have a stroke. So I have to have a very regimented diet, which I completely ignore. And so that's probably why I have to go have my blood checked every other week, you know. But I have been terrified to go into the doctor's office at all. I don't even want to go near there. And today was the first day, because I called the cardiologist and like, yeah, you need to go in and get your blood test. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go there. I'm like freaking out. Like, I don't want to go in there and get like Ebola and swine flu and freaking coronavirus. So, but they're like, you got to do it. And obviously I got to do it, because if I don't and it's bad, then I can, you know, I can die, which apparently is not on my to-do list. So So before I could even get into this, and keep in mind, super small kind of town that I live in here in New York, I could not even go into the building until they had taken my temperature. Like, I couldn't even go in. So the guy greets me. He's got his get up on, which is great, because I'm super neurotic. I mean, I don't want somebody breathing on me. And And he's trying to give me the thermometer, but it's not reading. So, like, first of all, I'm thinking, I guess I'm already dead. Like, I have no temperature whatsoever. This cannot be a good thing. But they put the thermometer in, and I, you know, eventually, you know, he's like, you know, you should hold it, and maybe that'll help. So I touched the thermometer, and of course it worked because that's the power I have. And then I went in, and they have this huge plastic sheeting in front of the person that I have to go check in with. It was just somber. I mean, again, in New York right now, we're just the state as a whole is a little bit panic stricken for obvious reasons. It's the city right now that is the crazy cluster, and but we're like they're hardcore serious up here. So I got back into that room and then we took the blood and I got out. I still haven't heard from them yet, but I assume I'm still alive. So that's good. But I don't think it's like that in some of the other parts of the United States right now. It just seems like it's not as high intense. But every single day for us, you know, we're looking at that count. And I got a lot of friends that are, you know, near the city, in the city. And so it's a little bit of a scary time. So I can't do the INRs at home, Josh, because I don't have the kit. My insurance won't cover the test. So and I'm not like... So your home health care company you work for does it all the time. Yeah, I tried to get that machine so I could just do it and not have to go in. But I don't know, was it about a year ago or something? Like, you know, your insurance won't cover it. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Because who's thinking, oh, that's I should probably really try to get this because, you know, there's a pandemic coming, you know. So nobody had that. But yeah. And I think a lot of other places too, Josh, are starting to feel that. And so it's a little bit crazy. But yeah, there's no reason. Like, there's nothing I think I want to... I mean, I don't even want to go into a grocery store. And right now, they're saying for us in New York, the next week or two, don't even go to get groceries. Small side note. Did you see that meme the other day? Oh, I don't even know if it was a meme. I think somebody took an actual picture of this person at Walmart, probably, or some grocery store, who's, like, returning a cart full of toilet paper rolls. I just want to say no. Like, there's no way. No, you keep all those toilet paper rolls. No, you keep those. You cannot return those. First of all, why would they think that they could return them? With the whole stuff that's going on, they can't possibly think they would return them. And I just want to say, if you bought that many, you should keep them. Because you basically were an idiot, right? That's my rant, okay? Melissa, must be a dad thing. I'll tell my dad something stopped working, give it to him, and it works. I have no idea what you're talking about, Melissa, but take Eliquis, and I don't need to do a blood test. Marissa, I don't think that works for me. Like, I have a mechanical heart valve, so, I mean, I'm not just going to, like, excuse me, doctor, I'm swapping this. So I might have to go get that checked. I'll ask him. He's probably going to look at me like I'm an idiot. He's probably going to say to me, what, did you hear that from somebody on one of your online live talks? You know what I'm saying? Marissa, you're probably a doctor. So, you're in the hot mess zone. It took me a second to process what you were saying because I thought, I am kind of a hot mess right now, but you're actually talking about New York City, aren't you? So... But I almost feel like that could have been my CB handle when I was a kid. Hey, breaker, 19, you're in the hot mess zone. All right, I'm leaving you. 10W50. Is that what your heart thickness, is that what your blood thickness is? All right, blessings, my friends. I'll see you tomorrow, probably, more than likely. Yeah. You were talking about the thermometer when I commented. Do you know what's so weird, though? Melissa, I don't even remember what I was talking about when I was... Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. The exact opposite is actually true for me, just so you know that. If it's a mechanical thing, I have to ask my son, Jude, to help me. Because if I start touching it, it'll just break and not work. In fact, literally today... We have a tractor. We have a Ford 8N. It's pretty awesome. And I in the entire history of me owning this thing, it maybe has worked twice. So I have a video. We have a video up on the Happy Place Homestead that's pretty funny for it. And I wouldn't start. There's something wrong with the battery. So we took the battery out. I asked my son Colby to go take it back to Napa and see if we could just replace it, you know. And the guy says basically, it still has a charge. So like literally I touch it, it doesn't work. Then he takes it in and then, oh no, it probably works. It's probably just that your dad looked at it and it lost the will to care. So yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll talk tomorrow. God bless. Hey, if you have any prayer requests or something you want to leave that down there, I'll be glad to do my best to include that in our prayer tomorrow night. And for those of you who are, just wanting to have a topic that you want me to fart around with and have some fun talking about, you can leave that below. Last thing is, I did put a link for like the Patreon account. We're just figuring out how to do that. Some people are wanting to figure out how to support what we're doing out here with all the videos that we're putting out. You can, there's no pressure. I'm not manipulating you at all, but if you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/Chris Padgett. I have a Venmo thing too and a PayPal. So whatever, you know, but if you want to be involved in what we're doing, we would appreciate it. But yeah, there's that. God bless. Get some rest.